Christmas Day has now come and gone. No more tempting packages await under the tree for young eyes. The excitement of opening is past. The long-awaited moment is now history. Now, would this moment have been so special if we hadn't been able to see the brightly colored packages under the tree? If we didn't have to wait until just the right time, would it have been just as significant? Indeed, in order to see the joy of Christmas morning, especially to experience it as children do, we need to wait. Simeon's story from this morning's gospel lesson is a tale about a man who waited. Simeon lived in Jerusalem, it is said. He was devoted to his God. He observed God's commandments to the best of his ability. He was filled, it says, with the Holy Spirit. Simeon longed for the consolation, the comforting, the salvation of Israel. That is, he was looking for the Messiah. Now, of course, all Jews were waiting for the Messiah, but most had their own notion of what this Messiah would look like and how he would appear. Even if the Messiah had come and stood before them, most probably wouldn't have recognized him. Well, as it turned out, we know they didn't. But Simeon was different. He was one of the few who waited patiently, it says, quietly, without many of those preconceived notions which seem to get in the way of really seeing what God is doing in this world. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the anointed of God, that is, the Christ, the Messiah. And one day, it says, Simeon was in the temple. There, amid the crowds of worshipers, he met a young couple and their newborn child. They had come to present their son in the temple, making an offering of 5 shekels as required by the law. Simeon could see that they were not well off. It was the custom of the law that a lamb should be offered for the purification of the mother after childbirth, but the law made an allowance for the poor who might not be able to afford a lamb. 2 turtle doves would be sufficient in that case. Mary and Joseph had no lamb. Now they did, but that's another story. Simeon saw all this, and then he saw the child, and something lit up inside of him, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was what he had been waiting for. He picked up the child, blessed God, and prayed. His prayer we find in the Gospel of Luke. Over the years, this prayer has been called the Nunc Dimittis, for in Latin, that is how it begins. But I'd rather think of it as Simeon's song. Let's listen to it again. Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Simeon's story as his song is indeed a special story. There are 4 things about this special story that I'd like to mention this morning. You might call them keys which help us unlock the true meaning of this story. The first is the word sight, to see. That word is mentioned 5 times in this short story. Simeon is said to have been looking for the consolation of Israel. It was revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah. After coming face to face with the Christ child, Simeon then prayed, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people." Add to the word sight the word revelation, reveal, which is used three times, twice with a specific reference to bringing to light or sight. And it becomes obvious that seeing is important. To be able to see what the Lord has done, that is God's salvation, is extremely crucial to this passage of Scripture. The second key has to do with the reaction of Mary and Joseph to all of this. According to Scripture, they were astounded at Simeon's words. Surely, after all that had happened to them in the past 9 months, they wouldn't be surprised at an old man seeing God at work in their child. Perhaps the fact that Simeon spoke of salvation and revelation being available to even the Gentiles was a bit much for two good Jewish people to digest. Simeon spoke of a salvation universally available to all people. The magnitude of God's work can be astounding. Key number three has to do with the destiny of this tiny child Simeon held in his arms as he prayed. This Christ child, this Messiah, was seen as heading toward a cross, toward suffering, rejection, and denial. Verse 34 says, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many." Now, one way of interpreting this is to say that many will fall and many will rise in relation to this child. That is, not all will choose to see Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, and follow him. In so doing, they will stumble and fall. But there will also be those who decide to follow him as their Christ, and they will rise. Indeed, that proved to be the case. It continues to be so. Another way of interpreting these words, the falling and the rising of many, is to say that those who follow God in Jesus Christ will not tread an easy path. Yes, they will stumble many times through their own weaknesses, or more to the point, through the persecution of others. However, they will rise again. Jesus would himself fall. He would die upon a cross and rise in his resurrection. The same is true for his disciples. Now, both ways of interpreting these words are important for our understanding. Not all will choose to see and follow Jesus. Those who do will go through a process of becoming God's people. There are times of fire, times of testing. Now, the fourth key to help us better understand this story and our own lives by this story has to do with waiting. Simeon waited patiently in expectation, not really knowing what exactly it was he was looking for. But he knew when he saw this child that he had seen salvation. The ordeal of waiting brought its rewards. And as if to underline this point, in our scripture lesson following Simeon's song, we learn of a woman named Anna, who waited, it says, day and night in the temple, worshiping, praying, and fasting. Obviously, there is something about waiting that helps to open eyes. Whether they be eyes which have seen much throughout a long life, or eyes that have yet to envision the world in all its wonder and worry. God is still on the move around us. Are we waiting and watching with open eyes, like Simeon and Anna? There's another story which I'd like to share this morning. Not Simeon's story, but Tommy's story. I've shared this story with you before, but it bears repeating. See, I came to know Tommy many years ago when I was a counselor at Camp Swatara. Tommy was a very quiet boy. In fact, he never spoke. He was what we call an autistic child. I don't claim to know much about this mental handicap, but as I understand it, an autistic child is missing a vital link in the brain, a connection to the outside world. It's as if a wire inside is disconnected, and the child lives in a world of his own. Tommy's parents sent him to a camp for mentally handicapped children. I was one of his counselors. Our cabin decided to spend a night outside. So we grabbed our sleeping bags and set up camp in the woods just behind our cabin. Sometime during that night, Tommy decided to get out of bed. None of us counselors saw him do it. Come morning, we discovered his empty bag. Well, you can imagine the commotion. The whole camp was gathered together. Everyone was asked if they had seen him. The director then assigned, and perhaps some of you know Ed Poling. He was the director at the camp, Camp Swatara at that point. He's now pastor of the Hagerstown Church. The director then assigned a few counselors to watch over the rest of the children while they ate breakfast, and led the rest of us in a search for Tommy, a procedure we had practiced before camp had begun. After prayer, we spread out in comb-like fashion from the place where he slept. Now, one boy in another cabin told me that he thought he'd seen Tommy walk by early in the morning, but he wasn't sure. So the path I chose went in a straight line from Tommy's sleeping bag past this boy's window. Now, this route took me through hilly ground, full of sharp rocks, thistle, and probably snakes. I add that just for dramatic. I knew Tommy did not have his shoes and socks on. The way I'd chosen to travel took me past the place we called the outdoor cathedral, where I paused to pray. After about a mile, my path led me to a huge rock field. In the middle of that rock field was a bush, and under that bush was Tommy. There he sat with his arms outstretched. As I picked him up, I noticed that there was not a mark on him. His bare feet were unharmed, only just a little dirty. Back at camp, the rest of the kids cheered when he came into the cafeteria. Now, what do these stories of Tommy and Simeon have in common? Well, I remember vividly Tommy's outstretched arms, trying to speak, to communicate with a world as I approached, with my world as I approached. He had gone about as far as he could go, and then he sat and waited until someone found him, until he was saved, so to speak. Now, I had to follow the leading I felt, to travel down a path, praying that Tommy would be found, waiting, so to speak, for one of us to find him. Now, whoever said that waiting involves just sitting and doing nothing doesn't themselves know anything. I was used to find him. God was at work. We, Tommy and I, we saw God's salvation. Now, the prophet Isaiah once put it this way, and perhaps you know these words by heart. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is about they who wait upon the Lord. Now, whoever said that salvation is only something you feel inside or something that happens to you only after you die? Yes, it is an inner leaning as well as a future hope. However, God's salvation is also something tangible. It can be seen and touched. Simeon held that little baby in his arms and saw in him God's future happening in the here and now. And Tommy, well, I have no idea what he saw as he waited under that bush. He couldn't tell me. But when I picked him up and carried him back to the lodge, I saw God's salvation taking place. God's salvation can be seen in our daily activities, when we come to realize that God is present in our lives now. Salvation can be seen, but because we are all still growing in the faith, we don't see all that we could, which is okay. There is time to grow in God's grace, even when we are, well, not a child anymore, but much further along in our journey. We are all still learning how to wait. Falling, yes, and rising on the way. When we do see these glimpses of glory, though they surprise us, even those of us who have been around a long time. My eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon sang as he held that baby. Can you hear the music? Do you see God's salvation also? Will you join in the song this year?